Hey everybody, how you doing? It's your Myron Dude Stern, Jasmine and Myron, and I'm back in the motherfucking stew with guess who?
It's Jamie, man, and I'm back too.
We all back up in here. This is Sangronex. We're so fucking happy to be here.
And you're listening to Queer Wellness.
Buenas, buenas! Happy full moon in Aries to our favorite queerdo lovers. Guess who's back again? It's us. We're back. Queered Wellness is back in the house. This is Queered Wellness.
Should I redo that?
It's been a while, y'all. This is the Queered Wellness Podcast, where queerdos like us get together in hopes of building community by sharing resources and personal experiences on what's worked and what has not worked when it comes to
mental, physical, and spiritual
wellness. Thank you for joining us.
Question
of the day.
That was creepy. And now we shall go over the question of the day, which is, what is the creepiest, weirdest, scariest thing that's ever happened to you?
Can I go first?
Go, oh, and I go?
Yeah, go first.
Okay.
Jeremy!
I would have to say being born.
Being born.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Gay man, yeah. Was it?
I mean, I just, you know, it wasn't my idea to be here.
How do you know that, though? You probably chose to
everything.
Be here. You probably decided all.
Y'all are straight tripping right now. I didn't
We're gay tripping, okay? Get it right, get it tight. Oh, ain't God. No straight tripping over here.
My bad. Yeah.
My shoelaces is tight.
Every day I'm scared. Every day I'm weirded out, and every day I'm creeped out.
Capitalism is scary.
When I sleep, when I'm awake. I'm not really that scared, though. But, you
okay,
know.
So nothing creepy's ever happened to you, really, other than being born?
Creepy. A lot of creepy things happen, but, like, creepy as in, like, paranormal activity,
yeah.
Kind of? No. I don't know. I can't really think of anything.
Wow. I got one.
Okay.
So, one time, I was living at this house, and we decided to make our own Ouija board.
Yeah.
Jammin was actually there, but she must have blocked it out of her memory. So, we are living at this trap house. Like, let me tell you, it was a lot of things going on in this house. Anyway, so one drunken night and other substances night, we decided to make our own Ouija board. We took a little piece of binder paper, wrote out the words, and then we got a shot glass. And a bunch of us was like, is there any spirits here with us? And then the shot glass started to move. And we're like, you're moving it. No, you're moving it. Nobody was moving it, apparently. And all of a sudden, the Ouija board we made is spelled S-E-X. 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 And we're like, what the fuck? No way. This is silly willy. And then there was a big bang on the wall. Long story short, we're like, whoa, that was creepy, but then we all go to sleep. We wake up the next morning, and I'm like, hey, yo, B, like, sorry if we were loud last night. We heard you banging on the wall. And he was like, I didn't bang on the wall. And we're like, what? So that's crazy. And then I get this random text from some random person that I met at a party, and it's a picture of a placard that says, sex is the answer, written in red writing on a wall. And I was like, what? That's weird. And then maybe like a couple days later, we had an orgy. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good time.
I forgot about it. So basically, we were living with a sex demon.
Something like that. A sex angel from hell or something. Whatever.
That's scary.
How am I going to top that?
Mine would have to be definitely related to, like, sleep paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I'd be blocking all this shit out.
Yeah, me too. The only reason I remember is because I don't really feel like it was sleep paralysis in the sense that I didn't feel like I could move. But I definitely felt... Because, like, it felt like I... Okay, so I'm laying in bed. I think I had woken up, like, in the middle of the night. And I just feel, like, you know when you could just feel energy? So I felt, like, a heavy energy. And then I felt breathing on my neck.
Ooh.
And I remember consciously choosing not to move because I was like, hell nah. Like, what if I move and then...
And then it bites me.
Yeah, who knows? Who the fuck knows?
Or it wants to have sex with me, apparently.
And I slip on a dick. Oh my God.
You never know.
But yeah, that was really, really creepy and scary because it was just like the fact that I felt like breathing on me. Mm-hmm. And like the heaviness, like the weight of... Not like a body, but it was just like a heaviness on top of my chest. But I feel like it was, I don't know, it might be a form of sleep paralysis. I actually never really experienced that ever since. So it was just that one time, thank God, because I know that some people struggle with that a lot.
And it's scary. Yeah, and the weird thing is that there are commonalities between everyone who has sleep paralysis, like the dark shadow figure sitting in the door.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. I didn't see, I'm glad that I didn't visually see anything. But my mind does play tricks on me, but I just ignore it.
That's some creepy shit.
I'll just like ignore shit from my peripheral.
I pretend you don't see it.
I'm like, nope. I am alone.
Not here.
I am alone in this world.
Nobody's home.
The scariest sleep paralysis I've had was just kind of the same, but I felt like someone came like in my bed with me and was like holding me and like breathing on my neck. And then obviously can't move or anything, but kind of in my mind to, so I wouldn't freak myself out. I was like, oh, it's probably like the person I was seeing at the time. It wasn't. and then I ended up waking up and I came in my sleep and then I had thought that I had
like
sex
orgasm
the night before. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I woke up and then I had scratches all over my back.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Nah.
That's some scare.
That is some scare. I wonder what causes sleep paralysis. What did they say causes sleep paralysis?
Like anxiety and shit. Yeah, I've looked it up before. They try to just blame it on like the mind, which is a accurate thing.
Okay, but like not everybody has the same mind. Why are there so many commonalities?
Well, because we're all human. We all have anxieties. We all have fears.
Stresses.
And we all have ways that we all suppress shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's when, like, yeah, especially stress, it'll come out in a scary way.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is like always... why in the middle of the night, why the same kind of like projection, like the breathing,
mm-hmm.
or and like the figure,
the dark figure, or well obviously
sometimes I've heard people talking and stuff too, like I thought like someone opened my like when I was living on 81st, like the house door, and was like walking around the house,
oh,
and I heard like
no.
two.
I believe that. That house was crane pain.
Yeah,
fuck that house.
Fuck that house.
Fuck that house.
Fuck that hit. We all lived there at one point and got out.
Alive.
Yeah.
We survived.
Oh my God. So yeah, what about y'all? What are some creepy stories, creepy things that happened to y'all? Write us. Let us know.
Yeah.
Holla. Leave us in the comments below. Just kidding, we don't have comments below.
But we do have an IG. Hop on a page, bruh.
We come through. We also got a Twitter that we never use, but we'll respond if you send us a message. Buenas, buenas, mis amores. Welcome back to Queered Wellness. We're so happy you're here, and we're so happy to be here. We just want to do a little check-in since it's been a whole-ass summer season since our last episode.
Summer seasoning.
During a pandemic.
Or as, like coming out of the pandemic.
We're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The panties are still in a pandemic.
A bitch can hope.
The pan dulce is still being baked.
This damn panty dropper.
Remember we said we weren't gonna.
Oh, we weren't gonna. Oh, we weren't gonna stray away off topic. But really quickly, let's just name every word for pandemic.
Understand? Pandemonium.
I don't remember any of them. Panoramic.
Pancake.
Pancaca.
Pancaca.
All right. Anyways. Yeah, let's just do a quick little check-in. This is Sangronix. What's up, y'all? I've missed you.
You too.
Please check out our takeovers on the IG if you haven't, done so. But, let's talk about summer. So, I hit the ground running when the world started reopening.
What'd you do?
So, 2020 definitely made me feel like I was being held hostage, but also I was doing a lot of inner work. So I was kind of hibernating. So the minute that the pandemic, that the world started opening, I took advantage of the fact that I'm still working remotely. So I started working for my brother. Shout out to Jimmy and some
pew pew, hermano, hermano.
But yeah, I started working from different places. I started traveling safely to Mexico, to my roots, to my motherland. One of my last trips definitely was coming home to myself. So relationships have been a very huge theme for me.
What kind of relationships?
All kinds of relationships. Specifically, there's been a lot of inner child work that I've needed to revisit. So a lot of those wounds, a lot of that healing. So going back to Mexico was really big for me because it allowed me to reclaim my roots and my relationship with Mexico, because I've noticed that a lot of I noticed I really held on to pain. Like, pain is familiar. Pain was a form of being at home with myself. Like, I just thought my pain was something that I had to live with, which definitely is not true. You can transform your pain. You can heal. You can become better. You can grow. Whatever it is, you don't have to constantly live in that pain. And that's something that I was learning. And so I noticed that with my relationship with Mexico, like, there was a thing for me that I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I was Mexican enough. I didn't feel like I knew Spanish enough. I didn't feel like I was worthy of being there, that I was just, like, this girl with tattoos and independent and nobody likes that and she's single and she's old. She should be married and having babies and stuff like that. So, it was really nice to... It's just been a theme to reconnect and take my power back from a lot of the relationships, because I have tendencies of being codependent and have abandonment issues and all kinds of sorts of goodies that make me. But yeah, so this summer really allowed me to reconnect to relationships that are authentic, that feed me the way that I feed them. So, like, you know, if you water me, I water you. Like, I'm not checking in on nobody no more who doesn't check on me. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, as much as I want to take that on, as much as I want to make sure everybody's doing good, like, that's not fair for me. So it's been a lot of reevaluating in terms of relationships and setting boundaries and recognizing my needs. And that is rooted into, like, familiar relationships, even relationships with Mexico, the land, because I also, you know, my parents are from there. We have property over there. Like, yeah, it's...
So, well, I'm curious, like, what types of, I guess, exercises or activities were you doing in your time alone that contributed to your growth?
Well, for me, I have consistent strategies or techniques. I have a consistent toolbox. So I use my tarot cards. That helps me connect with my spiritual side. Helps me, receive messages from the universe that I feel like are my blind spots. I talk to my friends, the people that I trust, the people that I know, like, really listen and provide good feedback instead of, like, you know, like, the people who, like, it's cool if you got people who are always on your side, but at the same time, like, I need you not to just be like, oh, well, fuck that person. I need you to also be like, oh, well, you kind of maybe were out of line in this part, or, like, you know, help me take accountability. So talking to people who I know
will call you on your shit
is a beneficial relationship, like, two-way street kind of thing. And then I have my voice journaling. I haven't started therapy, but I have my voice journaling, which is a form of self-therapy. And then I'm also still in my ACA study group, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics, and that constantly addresses a lot of, like, inner child work and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just been a lot of, like, the regular maintenance in order to, like, stay grounded, in order to not get lost in emotions, and releasing when releasing is necessary. Like, emotions are not something that we need to run from, or we need to, like, change, or we need to, you know, get lost in, but really just, oh, damn, I feel like crying. I don't really know why. I don't really understand. But also, I don't need to have those answers. And I'm going to cry because that's what my body needs. Because also, like, when I was in Mexico, I had moments like that and I didn't understand them. But, like, some of the things that we're addressing and going through and healing, like, that's generational. Like, you never know what you're healing. And as long as you allow yourself to release that, it's going to provide some form of release.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Release.
I support that.
Yeah, and just being open-minded, because a lot of, like, the family stuff that I'm trying to heal is not easy, but I have to be, like, patient and open-minded and compassionate with family.
Yeah. I mean, that's important,
with
right?
The people you care about.
Yeah. People I love.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's see. Well, since summer.
Oh, this is Jazz Mooney, y'all.
Thank you for sharing, Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Since summer, we started going, I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm also a music teacher, but we started teaching.
Ow!
Thank you. Give it up. Give it to me.
Educators.
So we're back in person now, and it has been one hell of a ride. It's pointed out things to me about myself that I need to work on. I've also realized throughout all of this that I kind of had, like, this mental breakdown and felt like I wasn't in control of anything. So one thing I started doing, I read it somewhere and I don't remember where I read it, and I'm not really about the American government or the military, but it was a military guy who wrote this. And he was talking about how, you know, you can't really control much sometimes, right? Because we're all humans. There's a giant world around us and everybody will act as they may. But if you could just get control over the little things, it will go a long way and you'll start to gain yourself, your sense of control again, right? So I started making my bed. I started folding my clothes. And all that sounds like really simple and easy, but it actually wasn't. And now it's actually a habit, and so I feel like I have this sense of control. Like, in my space, in who I am, I can control what, or how I react, or how I respond to things, right? So that's helped me a lot, just, like, being in control of the little things. And I'm not a control freak, but it definitely helps in, you know, having my mind organized and coming home to something that is organized, right? Because nothing else is organized. The entire education system is falling apart right now. And it sucks, especially when you want nothing but the best for your students, right? All these kids. On top of that, there is no telling like what these kids had to endure being at home and not with their friends, right? Like, community is so important.
There's no escape.
Yeah, and I'm constantly telling my kids that. But there was like a moment where we all sort of lost that. And the community that we build on campus is huge. So I'm dealing with these kids, and there's also like certain like curriculum standards that all these teachers need to meet and all this other stuff that falls into it. But the one thing that has helped me, and I hope helps like other teachers, is just knowing that your students are humans first. And they're still young, and they really need social and emotional safety, right? So focusing on their social emotional wellness before meeting education standards, that is like huge. And then on the technical side of things, I've stepped into the space of gratitude for all of the advances that were made during the pandemic, like the use of technology, right? Through all that, like the equity gap has closed. So more students, they have access to technology, right? Each student now has like 2 Chromebooks, blah, blah, blah. But still using all those means of communication, right? There's all kinds of apps where like I can actually check in with my students if they haven't been at school for 2 weeks, right? But it's been really, really hard. And I still don't really know how I'm doing it. Those are some things that have like helped me, you know, feel okay amongst the chaos. But yeah, that's what's going on here. Do we have any teachers that listen to this? I wonder.
Or just work in education. You could be a counselor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be working with kids.
Talk to me, baby.
Tell them.
I wonder like what the long term effects the pandemic may have on them. Like, I'm sure there's like benefits to it. Like you mentioned the technology part, which is really cool. But like, I wonder, like.
You gotta look at history.
I will tell you, they are so socially awkward. I remember pre-pandemic, right? You used to have to tell the students to be quiet, you know, or like simmer down. They're just like fooling around too much. Now students will come in and literally their heads are stuck on their phones. Nobody's talking to each other. The only time like students will engage is if I create like an activity where they're engaging, right? Which is also very important, right? Because we're trying to rebuild social skills and good human beings for the future, you know, and that should come first before educational standards, point blank. And I hope that teachers are remembering that specifically. Right? So, yeah.
You got a bunch of little robots.
Yeah. And so we're working on building on emotional awareness. Building on emotional awareness.
How are you doing that?
So just like a question, right? What makes you happy? Or like what moments are you experiencing that make you happy, right? And then taking note of that. What opportunities bring happiness? What people bring happiness to you? What activities bring happiness to you? And then taking note of that and really trying to implement those things into your daily life more than others, right? So even being mentally aware of that can help you, one, build happiness, and two, you're becoming emotionally aware of the moments that create happiness for you. And you can create that happiness more so if you are aware of what's causing that. So that's what we're working on. Students and myself included, for sure.
So y'all should do that too.
Right? So some questions that I have for them is, one, how does happiness show up in your body? Right? Physically, take note of that. What kind of activities are those feelings connected to? Also, how does it feel physically, and where in your body do those feelings reside? It's important to take note on what sparks that joy so that we can lean into those activities, people, and opportunities, like I said. And then by doing that, we know what's in alignment with us and our happiness.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention to who you're with when you feel happy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And keep them around, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And pay attention to when you feel like shit and who you're with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kick them that to the part. Curb.
Yeah, set those boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. You got to choose, like, what do you ultimately want? Do you want happiness or do you want fuck shit?
You know? I feel like with that, though, you really also have to distinguish the instant gratification. Like, the constant need for reward is what humans tend to gravitate towards because they don't...
What are you doing for me? Nothing for me, bye.
Yeah. And then they don't want to put in the work if it's, like, a potential relationship that is worth building on. But it's, like, if you get one negative thing, it's like, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. You know? Like,
so then you have to readjust, like, what you're... end goal is, what your ultimate need is.
Yeah. Your needs, right? And your capacity and your boundaries and the willingness to put in work into another relationship, like the other person. Mm-hmm. As long as it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, like the people who you party with and stuff, that's instant gratification. Just because you feel happy for that day, for that night, it's fake news.
Yup. But then aside from that, because people are really unreliable, like, the thing that's big for me and that I try to push on my students is, like, what activities are you doing that bring you happiness? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I know a lot of folks, like, during the pandemic, is one or the other. Either your creativity just, like, shot to the sky, or you just haven't created anything. And I think this moment that we're living in has been super tough on creatives particularly. Because, you know, honestly, I don't know why. I'm sure there are, like, multiple reasons. But if we could get back to those activities that bring us joy, you know, I think that would do a lot of good for us all. Oops.
But also, like, finding joy in the mundane is really important. Like, you know, folding your laundry and then the reward of, like, damn, I did that. I fucking folded my laundry. I put it away, like... giving yourself that recognition and being, you know, like, just in that moment. Because also, if you focus on, like, oh, I didn't create today or I didn't do what I wanted to do. And, it's, like, you know, it's just, like, it could be, like, every day could be a drag because you didn't do what you wanted to do. Or you didn't put the pressure on yourself to do. So, it's, like, damn, I brushed my teeth. I got out of bed. I made it to work. Mm-hmm. I made a kid smile. Mm-hmm. I checked in with myself, or I journaled, or
I
drank water.
I drank water, yeah.
Dude,
fed myself.
And actually, drinking water is a power move. Okay, let me tell you. I am telling you, it really, like, it will change your mood. You need water.
We're made of water.
Made of water. Especially during them full moon pools, you know what I'm saying?
Email I right now.
Young.
Right now.
Drink that
right
water. Now.
As we're recording.
Okay, where is she?
Or you gonna die.
Okay, water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Water break.
What about you, Jarm?
my summer. So it's a little hard for me because I just have a really bad memory.
Oh, God.
So, I'm trying to think of summer, and I just feel, I don't know, man, I just feel like it went by so fast. I feel like I had a chill summer. It definitely wasn't the summer that I wanted to have, but maybe it was the summer I needed to have.
How so?
Just, like, it was very chill. It was, like, I didn't do a lot of traveling. I definitely didn't go to the river as much as I usually do or go to the beach as much as I usually do. Didn't go camping. Like, everything I usually do, I did not do.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, I don't know. People were on their own shit. A lot of people weren't going out. There was a pandemic. People were scared to go out. And then people are like, don't travel, don't do anything, just stay at home and fucking make fucking banana bread. I don't even like banana bread.
Damn.
So, anyways, but no, it was chill. I feel like I did a lot of self-reflecting. For most of the summer, I was sober, which was cool. I did end up breaking my sobriety on...
No yawning.
August 12th, I think. So like a month before, a little less than a month before my year.
You broke your sobriety?
I sure did.
How did that feel?
Wild.
How? What do you mean?
Chaos was back. I mean, it was like a, it was rough. I mean, I just emotionally, I kind of just broke and was like, honestly, I don't really care anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. And, it definitely was not like, it did get a little chaotic, but definitely not as chaotic as my life has been before. Mm-hmm. Just this year was very, I feel like every year is emotional, but it wasn't, like, usually I would fuck up, like, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and, like, hate the things that I did, or, like, be confused about what I did, and blah, blah, blah. But this time, it was only, like, 4 times in 1 year.
Four times in 1 year?
A lot better than 4 times in 1 month.
Well, you were sober for almost a year, though, right?
Yeah.
So you mean fucking up in other ways?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you... Like, have you thought about, like, what might have triggered that? Like, you slipping up on your sobriety?
I was just bored, honestly. I was bored and...
Bored as in, like, you weren't comfortable with non-chaos?
Yeah.
In a state of...
Yeah, and I was just like, I felt like I had this power too that was like, you can just have a couple drinks and be fine, which ended up not being true. Now I actually feel like I can have only a couple drinks and be fine, which is nice. I don't know, it's just this very, just a journey, you know?
So do you feel like during your time of sobriety that you put in enough work that it helped you through the moments of when alcohol came back into the picture?
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe I was a little bit too eager when I first started drinking, so that was just maybe slightly a blur. But right now, I feel like I'm in a pretty good headspace, and I don't know, a lot of the times I felt like when I was drinking, I did definitely put in a lot of journaling, a lot of like, why do you do that, and how does that make you feel, and how could this be different, and how is that related to this, and you know, all mm-hmm. that good stuff.
A lot of reflecting.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it was mostly just, like, I was very unhappy. I think that's why a lot of people drink so much, because they're sad.
To them. Mm-hmm.
You know? And, yeah, I just wasn't happy with myself or with my life, and I feel like when you're not drinking, you have a lot more time to focus on how you can change the things that make you sad. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not as sad, maybe, or...
Well, have you...
I'm sad, but see. I'm able to...
You're working through it?
Like, not maneuver through it, but just, like,
you have
flow
healthier
with it.
Ways
yeah.
Yeah, to process.
And, yeah, and accepting, and just accepting myself in general, and... Yeah, it's not that bad.
So...
I mean, it is, but it's gonna be okay.
So, are you... Like, I'm curious to know, like, if you're taking, like, a mental note of, like we were talking earlier, like, the activities and mm-hmm. the people who do bring joy and, like, positivity to your life and, like, who will call you on your shit type mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, even, I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I want to drink. But then I'm like, but, like, then you ask, like, why? Why do you want to drink kind of thing? And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, because of this, but... I don't know, usually when I'm hanging out with, like, my real friends, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, like, be there presently and mm-hmm. be actually happy.
Yeah, or, like, remember the happiness,
and remember,
right?
Yeah, and
because sometimes, yeah, even, like, I don't get, like, belligerently blackout drunk, but sometimes when I drink, I'm like, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. And I already have a shitty memory, so.
Exactly.
It don't help.
Yes.
But so yeah, and then I actually today I had I've been on a wait list for a psychiatrist since June. And today I got an appointment for 2 in 2 weeks.
Yay.
So that was something.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it all. I mean, I'm ready to all experience anything that's gonna make me feel better.
Yeah, I feel that.
Whee! Test the waters.
Yeah.
I got an open mind and an open heart.
Yeah. Dang. Dude, that's the key.
Ready.
Honestly. Open mind, open heart.
Open legs.
All right. All right. Well, I think that concludes our episode.
Yeah.
A little chicken.
Chicken?
Chicken?
She know I'm hungry. Can we go? That was a lovely comeback episode, and I'm so glad we got to touch base with y'all and express ourselves and talk about our summers. Now we will leave you with some last words.
Yes.
Jasmine, after you.
All right. Any last words? I guess if I were to leave this podcast with any last words for y'all, it would be... step into your emotional awareness, right? Really take note of the people, the activities, and the spaces that make you feel empowered, motivated, and beautiful, 'cause that's what we need to thrive, right? And also, especially as queer people, right? Community is super important, because we validate each other's weirdness in a society that's so heteronormative. But and most importantly, become aware of the people, activities, and spaces that bring you authentic joy. Take note of that and make it a habit to actively seek out those things. Boom.
Ay, chihuahua.
Firme, firme.
Ole. You're up, baby.
Last words. I just really want to emphasize how important it is to take care of ourselves on mental, spiritual, and physical levels every day. I mention that because I know sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we just want to lay around Netflix, or we want to just turn our minds off, or we want to just shut the world out, which is fine, but remember to check in with yourself, remember to journal, remember to reach out, remember to ask for help, remember to really kind of piggybacking off of what Jasmine's saying, just pay attention to what you need, what your body needs, what your mind needs, because it does add up every day. So just want to make sure that you deserve to put in the work of like, am I doing okay? What do I need? Because it adds up in a good way, too. So just in the way that when we ignore ourselves or when we betray ourselves or we self-sabotage, the way that that adds up on its own, it also adds up when we put more love into ourselves, when we do a little bit of that work of like, let me check in, let me journal, let me reach out, let me do the work. Because you'll see the rewards every day, little by little. And every day is the reward that you deserve to experience.
Nami, Nami.
Tell them.
Wow, my heart is full.
Mi corazón ex.
Mi corazón ex.
Take note.
My last words would have to be to be kind to yourself. Because I struggle with that a lot personally. And just, you know, there's a lot of negative thoughts in your mind, and especially if you grew up with just a lot of negativity and yelling and just very inappropriate talk. Be nice to yourself. Talk to yourself as if you would talk to your best friend. And stay hydrated. Drink a lot of water. You're a plant. Go outside. Breathe fresh air. Get out of the house. I'm talking to myself right now.
Good shit.
Transform that energy. You're not stuck in any kind of negative state. You got the power.
Yeah.
You got power.
Let's focus on solutions.
Yeah.
Write down solutions to any problems you have.
Even if they're hard to believe.
Yeah. Even just throw on down.
Go ahead.
Little band.
All right.
Poco a poco.
Well,
that concludes this episode. So, thank you for joining us on this journey. Happy Halloween.
Healthy Halloween.